Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Over the years, even some of the years when I was here, but certainly in the years since I went to the sword, I haven't totaled it up, but I'm going to say probably more than 100 times, I've been somewhere in a church on a Sunday when they were celebrating pastor's anniversary. A lot of the churches, they asked me to come for a deal like that, and I've done a bunch of them. And sometimes the church anniversary itself. And they always, you know, they do some things, some nice things. But I have never been in one of those that's gone like this one is gone. Now, this already has been, and we don't even begin to have the day done, but this has already been an absolutely super wonderful, blessed time of celebration. And I'm going to say something now that I've never done before, not even once. In just a few minutes, I'm going to read this text. And I am reading it pointedly and specifically because I believe it has some things in it that are very applicable to Dr. Belcher. And I want to, never done this before, but I want to dedicate what I'm about to say to him. And I hope for you. Dr. Belcher is a Christian man. I know him very, very well. He and I are very close. He's a Christian man. And I mean, when he and I are out together, we're on the phone together, whatever, there's never one time when he's ever said or done anything in my presence that would negatively reflect on his Christian demeanor. Not only that, but he's a family man. Very devoted to Karen, to their three children and the grandchildren. Very much a family man. And he's very much a preacher. As we say in some parts of the country, he's a corn sheller. You give him the microphone and the pulpit and he knows how to get it done. And he's devoted to that. He is a preacher. And he's also a pastor. And that's two different things. Already been noted by somebody here. A preacher is one thing, but a pastor also becomes like a shepherd to the flock. And Dr. Belcher is a pastor. He's also a man of vision. He came in here 30 years ago, picked up the mantle of leadership, and has just moved it forward. A man of vision. He's also a man of conviction. He's got principles. And he's built them off of the Bible. A man of conviction. And number 7, he's an Orioles fan. And I know some of you know this, but over these 30 years, and I think we even did a game or two before you got here. We did. On my daughter and her husband now, first date, he was with us at a ball game. Now, but over these 30 years, he and I, now this year has been an exception, and that's my fault really because I had a lot of things on my plate. And the Orioles were having a terrible year. And what's it been, 8 years since we saw them lose? Something like that?
Eight or nine years.
I mean, he and I have gone 2, 3, 4 times every year, every season. And they've always won. Now, we feel like we maybe had something to do with that, but but I tell you that because it is a part of our relationship. I'm a baseball nut, and he's a baseball nut. And so we just have a good time around that, and we both have a big deal to say about the Orioles. So so we've done a lot of that, and we're both very grateful for that. Now, in the midst of all of this and what I've said to you, family man, pastor, preacher, all of this, Dr. Belcher has stood tall, and he has kept the church on track. Now, you may not know how big a deal that is, but in the environment across America, there are all kinds of churches that had a good history, and they changed leadership, and it wasn't but a matter of months until things went just in a bunch of different directions they'd never even imagined. And that has not happened here, and it's not been because once in a while somebody hadn't tried to influence him to do it. But he has said no, he has stood tall, and he has kept the church on track. And I salute him for that and for a lot of other things. Now, here's one other little piece of the puzzle that I'll throw in the mix. Dr. Belcher is well known across the nation. But he has not let that change him one little bit. You know, you've known people and I've known people who got a little notoriety, people know them, and all at once, you can't hardly stand to be around them. Dr. Belcher has never let it change him. He is today who he was when I first knew him more than 30 years ago. Now, in 30 years, my hair's turned loose and his has turned gray. And he maybe has a wrinkle or two that he didn't have 30 years ago and might even have another pound or two, but he's still the same man. You've been feeding him well, but he's still the same man. And I'm very grateful not only for the ministry relationship that he and I have, but the fact that we are very close personal friends as well. It means the world to me. And I thank you all for letting me be here and be a part of the celebration. Now, I'm not going to preach any longer because I took time to do that. I intended to let you out by 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I will stick to that. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord, with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice right at the bottom of verse 18, at the top of verse 19, there are six words. At all seasons, serving the Lord. Here in Maryland, we do have seasons. We have spring and summer and fall, and winter. We have seasons. When it comes winter, we know it. Summer arrives, we're glad. We love the blossoming of spring, and we delight in the beauty of the fall. We do have seasons. When it comes to ministry, when it comes to ministry and a local church and all of the things that are involved, we also have seasons. We have days when there will be valleys. Some of that comes because of the passing of loved ones. Some of it comes because, who knows, a variety of reasons. There are valleys. And yet, in a ministry like this one, there are mountains and a good bunch of them where we scale the heights and have absolutely great and blessed times. But at all seasons, whether up in the down in the valley or up on the mountain, at all seasons, whether it's the hot summer or the cold winter, at all seasons, serving the Lord. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's serving the Lord. And if we serve the Lord, we all benefit from that. Now, the Lord's plan is the greatest plan that could possibly be conceived for me, for you, for any of us. He has better plans for us than we can make for ourselves. And so because of that, I reflect on these six words, at all seasons serving the Lord. That 18th verse, the Apostle Paul said, from the very first day, you know what manner of men we've been. In fact, there's at least two other times in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he mentions about what manner of men. Now, the fact is, in fact, the 2 Timothy passage, he goes into some detail about that manner of men. Now, honestly, everybody ought to have good manners, amen? We all ought to have a manner about us that is commendable, that is reflective of the good things of the Lord. And whether we're down the street at a restaurant or walking through an airport or down at the mall shopping, whatever, our demeanor, our presentation, our expressions that come out of our mouth, all of those things ought to reflect the good manners that the Lord has taught us to have, reflecting the demeanor of a Christian. And Paul, the apostle, said, you know, from the first day, didn't wait a week, didn't wait a month, didn't wait 3 years down the pike, but he said, from the first day we were there, you know what manner of men that we have been. Now, all of that leads me to the details that he gives in verse 19 when he says, serving the Lord. Yes. Well, how was he doing that? Number one, with all humility of mind. So what's that about? That means with a yieldedness to the Lord. Humility is not walking around with your shoulders drooped and your face drawn in some negative expression, and whispering in tones. That's not humility. Humility is having the right heart and spirit toward the Lord, where you reflect on the fact, I know I'm a child of God, but He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one who gives the orders. He's the one who's the boss. He's the one to whom we look and to whom we yield ourselves. The humility that we look for, it starts in the mind. And he says here, you know that in everything we have had a humble spirit, a humble mind about us, yielding always to the Lord in that. Not only serving with humility of mind, but he said also with tears. Now sometimes the tears are tears of joy. Other times they're tears of sorrow. And if you've been around very long, you've probably had some of both. Well, I think what he's dealing with here is, you read the biographies of the Apostle Paul in the Bible, and you're going to find that there were tears of compassion. My heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is, he said, that they might be saved. He is compassionate toward them. And not only that, but sometimes our tears are tears of conviction. We stand for something. We stand up to be counted. Sometimes we get knocked around. Sometimes we get slapped down. Sometimes we get hurt. And in the process of that, there can be a tear or two. Tears of compassion, yes. Tears of conviction. And then there are tears of comfort. Whenever someone else has a hurt, and we're able to weep with them because they weep. And we have those tears that we will shed sometimes for a variety of reasons and others. He said, at all season, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and with many temptations. Now, look at the biographies of the Apostle Paul, and it doesn't appear to me that he's tempted to go off down some wicked trail, but the temptations, maybe he's talking about the turbulence that comes along the way, sometimes discouraging, sometimes finding ourselves, we thought we were headed down, but we found, this is a detour, it's not the right road. We try to find a way to make a U-turn and get back. Other times we get distracted along the way, and sometimes people will promise you everything and give you nothing. All of these kinds of things, temptations down the trail here, he said, but nonetheless, at all seasons, whether down in the valley or upon the mountain, serving the Lord, and verse 20, holding back nothing. And I will tell you, for me and for him, the years that I spent here and the years that he's been here, thank you for undergirding us and supporting us when we've stood in the pulpit and laid things out that needed to be laid out and said what needed to be said, and both of us developing reputations for telling it like it is and like it needs to be told. And you all have stood by us. You have stood with us when sometimes we were getting shellacked by some critic. Nonetheless, the sweet, precious church family right here, including the few folks, the 140 or 50 or so folks that I inherited when I first got here, I'm telling you, some great, precious people. I'm telling you, if you've just gotten here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago, the history of the support and the undergirding of the pastor in this family, in this church family, it goes back a long way. And it's been good every step of the way. And I thank you for him, and I thank you for me in that regard, because it's right for this pulpit to hold nothing back. It's right. It's always right. You know, he and I would tell you, if you'll have your family here, you'll have your family involved in the programs and the ministry here and have them in here when they need to be in here, and just be here and be here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. 5 years from now, down the pike a little ways, you'll be writing thank you notes and saying, thank you, Pastor, for holding nothing back, telling us what we needed so we can build a family, so we can build our marriage, so we can have things that we ought to have. The Apostle Paul said to these Ephesian folks, he said, I held nothing back. I've been giving you what you needed to have, telling it like it is. Now, when you get to verse 21, he gives us both the method and the message of the ministry. When he says testifying, that means we are giving out this message. And we've got all kinds of ways that we do that. You saw during the Sunday school hour, the Spanish and the bus ministry and the Good Shepherd class and all those things that were paraded in front of us here to help us see even things that are somewhat unseen in the ministry here, but nonetheless are going on all the time. What is that all about? It is testifying to the deaf. It is testifying to the Spanish. It is testifying, telling the story, giving out the gospel to those that we have the opportunity to minister to in that way. That's the method. And the message is repentance toward God. And that's just meaning, I mean, read it for what it says, not what you think it says. It says repentance toward God. That means changing your mind about God. Amen. And by the way, if you change your mind about God, you'll change your mind about a bunch of other stuff. And he says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message. And whenever we decide, hey, God's right. God's right. I need to listen to him. And we change our mind about who he is and what he's about and how we're going to relate to him. Then we've repented toward God. And then we put our faith in the crucified and risen Christ. That's the message. Verse 24, he says, but talking about some of the stress that he had, but he said, but none of these things move me. Now, folks, every place, you may have noticed where we recruit members. We get them out of the human race. And that's true of every church. If they're doing anything at all, whatever new members they get, they all come out of the human race. And that means, yes, we are going to have a problem once in a while. But the fact of the matter is, in a church like this, what we specialize in is trying to fix the problems. And that's why when we have a valley, we just keep plodding along till we get to the mountain again. And we don't give up in the valley, but we keep heading toward the mountain. Remember, at all seasons, serving the Lord. And we get the gospel out. Verse 26, he said, I take you to record. I'm pure from the blood of all men. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then he's got some warnings there about grievous wolves and so forth that necessitates that we stay on guard. Now, the bottom line is, we thank God for Dr. Belcher's 30 years. And yet, he's still, he's younger than I am. I'll say it that way. Good bit younger. And he's got years to go yet. And from here, what do? We just dig in and keep after it and keep doing what we need to do. Now, you may have walked into this building this morning not knowing what all you were going to see and hear, but I want you to know something. What you heard sung about here in a couple of the songs is very true. God loves you. And what happens here from this pulpit over and over and over again, that message goes out. And we all need to understand, God does love us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means you don't have to go to hell, but it means you can go to heaven when you die. And I'm telling you, there have been folks down these aisles over and over and over again come down and say, tell me about it, tell me about it. And we've got some folks who are ready to help you and tell you about it. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you walked in this building and you may be sitting in the balcony or wherever, there's staircases over here that you can walk down to get to the altar. And I want you to know God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to breathe another breath or live another day without the solid assurance that you'd go to heaven if you were to die. And one day you will. And consequently, I make the appeal to you this morning. The same God that sent Jesus to the cross is the one who loves you and who would love to save you. And in a moment, we're going to have some music. And when that music begins, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And all in one motion, if you need to trust the Savior, I'm going to ask you to slip down here and let one of us sit down with you with an open Bible. And in just a matter of a couple of minutes, we'll help you to make that choice for Christ. There may be some of you who've already been saved. You just need to come forward and make it public. Others maybe need, you want to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe folks who want to come and join the church. Well, you're welcome, you're invited, and some of the guys will be standing here at the front to meet you. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're going to pray briefly and just remind you again, we're thanking the Lord that at all seasons we can serve the Lord and just rejoicing in that. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. I wonder across the building this morning, there's some things going on with you. You know the Lord's working in your life. It may be because you're not saved yet, or it may be that you're contemplating joining here, and you'd like for Dr. Belcher and me to pray for you. And I'm just going to ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you'd slip your hand up right quick so that we can see and pray intelligently with you. And if you have a need like that, something you're contemplating, slip your hand up and let us see, and we'll pray for you. And then we're going to have the music. I'm looking all around to my right, coming around here, and to my left, coming around up top as well. All right, God bless you. Let's bow together and we'll pray. Dear Lord, I ask you now to move in our midst and stir in this place the things that need to be stirred. Warm us up, I pray, and give us your special blessing. And may the Spirit of God so work and move in our midst that we will know that we've been to church today, we've been in the house of God, and we've had a good, sweet blessing from you. So move in our midst, I pray. Save those that need to be saved and help others to do and make the choices they need to make. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. The music begins, the altar's open, and you find your way and come on, Pastor.